Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Hey, good time with Tip, man. It's kind of cool. If you listen to Dukes and Bell, you never know who's just going to roll in, because we got some really cool stations that we're partners with, and with our access with V103 and Star 94, it's kind of neat. You know, the other day when Ice Cube just dropped in, and that was a big day for us, and again, talking to T.I., we were just talking off the air after we got done, Carl, just how hard it is to do stand-up now with cancel culture, and, you know, Dave Chappelle's dealt with it. I mean, no one, you know, in the old days, if you didn't like somebody, you just didn't watch him. Now it's, fire him!
Yeah.
It's like being on a radio.
Or they should never work again.
Right?
Know?
It's like being on a tightrope, you know, basically, all day long. Hey, man, more on the Falcons' search for a defensive coordinator right now, though. Danny, ready to rock? Our man, one of our favorite guests at preview of the national championship. Also get his take on what Georgia's been doing these last few weeks. Danny Cannell joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Danny, how you doing?
What's up, Mike? How we doing? Carl, you guys doing all right? Fired up. It feels bittersweet a little bit, like end of the college football season's here. It's kind of sad, but I thought the 12-team playoff was really a lot of fun. So it's great to be on with you guys, man.
Man, I agree with you. And I think the excitement of what we saw. Listen, the first round, you know, everybody got caught up, Danny, in the blowouts, and blowouts have happened, whether it was the BCS or, you know, when we had the polls, that's just a part of this. But I think the buildup to this game on Monday night, you're absolutely right, there is some excitement. I want to ask you about the physicality of what we saw with Ohio State and what we've seen. They have just been dominant in these games, and I didn't think that would be the situation when you talk about their last three.
Yeah, they definitely have answered any questions. And even more so, Carl, how about the question marks they had around them after facing Michigan and losing the last game of the regular season, you know, for the fourth time in a row to a team that was basically more physical than them? As you mentioned, like Michigan's defense was able to shut down that offense, and then they couldn't run the football against Michigan, like, and they got run over somewhat by, you know, Khalil Mullings, the Michigan running back. So they had a pretty massive gut check, and it was probably a win that helped them get to where they are today, because I do think it galvanized a team which had been just praised all season long. They were the preseason favorite to win the national championship. They were this $20 million roster. They had pretty much been blowing through their opponents. And even the Oregon game, they lost on the road. It was close, and people just didn't even care about that. It was like, oh, they'll be fine. But that game, like, all of a sudden, Ryan Day came under scrutiny again. It really did feel like it pulled that team together, and then they just come out like a shotgun out of it, or, you know, just like a cannon out of the chute in the playoffs. They blow through Tennessee. They blow through Oregon in the rematch in the Rose Bowl, which was probably the most surprising outcome of this playoff. And then they get another nice win against Texas with the, you know, the play now that's going to go down in infamy, the Jack Sawyer, you know, return. So they have been all that they were the thought to be at the beginning of the season. It probably didn't go as smoothly as we would have thought, but that's what great teams do. They're able to endure some adversity, and they took that, stared it right down, and here we are on the verge of a national championship for the Buckeyes.
It is Danny Cannell with his guys here on the WadeFord.com hotline. One of the things which is interesting about Ohio State is, you know, Chip Kelly, it looked like in that Michigan game, it's like, well, what are you doing? I mean, how do you not get your star wide receiver, Jeremiah Smith, more involved? And ironically, in the win against Texas, just one reception for 3 yards. So it's hard to see them. I mean, can they beat Notre Dame without him being a factor on Monday night?
I think they could beat them the same way they beat Texas, right? And I think it does. Like, this is what great teams do. Like, you take what the defense is giving you. And I thought against Michigan, they played a little bit not to lose. And I think it's a very similar kind of game. Now, they were almost a 3-touchdown favorite against Michigan, but still an 8-point favorite is pretty significant because they do have the edge at almost every position on both sides of the ball. the edge might be not be that great, but they do have better players across the board. So there could be a mentality of, well, let's just not go out there. Let's not expose our quarterback too much. What if he throws a pick six? What if we, you know, what if one of our freshmen dropped the ball like a Jeremiah Smith, as good as he's been? There can be a temptation, especially if you get an early lead. Like if it's 10-0, you can get a little bit tentative and maybe start playing a little conservative. That would be my messaging to Ryan Day, and I'm sure he's telling this to his staff and his players. You got to go for the jugular. And that is something they have done through the playoff, but it has to be like a controlled aggression. And that's the difference, I think, against Texas. Texas very clearly was saying, we're not going to give up the plays to Jeremiah Smith. We're not going to give up the big explosives. And so Ohio State methodically ran the ball down the field. When it wasn't there, they didn't force it. So they didn't turn the ball over. And they took advantage of the opportunities that were there, and they got the win. Now, it was close, and it was, you know, a tight-fought game. And the score is a little bit misleading because of that, you know, scoop and score, which put it up to 14. It was very close to being a tie ball game with 2 minutes with first and goal at the one. But Ohio State, ultimately, they got the win. So I would tell them to still be aggressive. And it can be tricky if you're Will Howard, the quarterback. You've got a player like Jeremiah Smith to try to force it to him. But you have to pick your spots. It has to be there because even as good as he is, if he's double covered, you could throw it into trouble. And all of a sudden you start turning the ball over. That's exactly what Notre Dame needs to do to stay in this game.
Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for all of the latest odds. While we're talking about Texas, Quinn Ewers declares for the draft. What are your thoughts about this quarterback class as we speak right now? I know we haven't gotten past the national championship game, but Cam Ward, Quinn Ewers, obviously Shedeur Sanders. What are your thoughts on those guys specifically?
So I don't think it's a great class. I think they all have flaws. I think if this was a normal world, and if I say normal, I'd probably have to go back like 10 years where teams really didn't overdraft quarterbacks. They kind of stood patiently. They'd wait for a guy to drop to the second round. But now I feel like they've gone almost to an NBA-type mentality where you need a quarterback, you got to take him in the top five. Like, you don't risk waiting on him. And a lot of times you just draft a guy on potential. Like, Anthony Richardson's a good example of that. The Colts drafted him after watching him only play 13 games for the Florida Gators, and he was average, but he lit it up at the combine, and they were like, oh, we can make this work. And the experiment's still very much, you know, up in the air, whether it works or not. This class, similar, I don't think there's a top-tier, like, upside guy that just blows you away with size. There's not, like, a 6'5 prototypical quarterback. There's not a guy that I think is going to blaze that runs, like, a 4'4. Again, these are kind of Anthony Richardson traits. And they've all got kind of flaws. I am down to Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Those are my top two. And I do think they're kind of in a class by themselves. I lean slightly towards Cam Ward. I do think he has more upside. He's got a stronger arm than Shedeur Sanders, and he's more mobile and he's faster. And he's just a dynamic playmaker. Shedeur has been awesome. He's the best decision maker of this class. But he does have – his arm is not that strong. It's adequate, but it's not going to blow you away. And his mobility is adequate, but it's not going to really scare you as a defense. And while you're able to escape sometimes in college, I do think Shador's escapability gets exposed somewhat in the NFL. But he has shown – like, he's got a high football IQ, Shedeur does. So, like, those are my top two. I lean towards Cam Ward. I personally would probably rather see them taken in the – you know, 8, 9, 10 slot, but the chances are they're probably going to both go top three because teams need quarterback and you got to take them when you get them. It's interesting you brought up Quinn Ewers. One point on him, I still don't believe that he's going to go to the NFL. Now, he might, I think he could pull a Carson Beck, right, who you guys are more than familiar with, where he had to put his name in the draft yesterday. There was a deadline, but it doesn't mean he has to go to the NFL. I think he's weighing all his options. I think he's talking to various teams, maybe one in there right down the road from you guys that possibly is in the market for a quarterback, seeing what the actual offers are. Don't believe everything you read because a lot of them are fake offers. And then he'll decide if he goes, because I'm talking to a lot of guys and they're saying he could be a second, third, or maybe a fourth round pick. And if he passes, even if it's a couple million bucks, if he passes on that money, I think it's a big mistake for Quinn Ewers to go to the NFL. So he needs to do his due diligence. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing college football somewhere next year.
And, Danny, you mentioned Carson Beck. This year was just weird. You know, I'm not a big fan of Bobo, but they couldn't run the ball. That Georgia was not good in the trenches. They just lost Trevor Etienne. They never maximized his talent. The receivers couldn't catch the ball. And then if he wasn't in the hands, he was also in the other defensive backs in the hands. What do you think of Carson Beck going to Miami, and what will eventually happen to him?
So I think it's a good, like, fresh start for everybody, because I do think, you know, I saw the reports that Georgia wanted him back, and I kind of feel like if Georgia wants anybody, they're going to get him. Like, there's no, like, they're not going to get outbid. So I kind of feel like this was a mutual parting of ways, which I think is good. Like, the one thing that surprised me was the amount of love that was shown for Gunnar Stockton as the backup. And trust me, as a backup most of my life, I get, like, that's where the fans often go to. But, like, the phrasing of they're going to play harder for him and they love their backup, that just felt a little awkward to me. Like, why don't you love your starter? Like, you know, like, that was just a little bit weird. So I do think everybody, like, needs a fresh start. And I'm a little bit cautious on Carson Beck. I thought you saw him regress when he didn't have Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, who are incredible players. But I do think he's a type of player that needs good talent around him. He's not super mobile. He's mobile enough. But, like, Miami needs to put better players around him. And they just lost a ton of production. They lost their two best receivers, their running back, a couple offensive linemen. Like, they need to replenish or else they're going to be looking at a season that underwhelms. And the one thing I feel bad for Carson Beck is the expectations are going to be he's going to be Cam Ward. He's going to lead, you know, lead a number one offense, scoring offense in the country, and he's going to have Miami right back in the cusp of an ACC championship game. And if they don't put him in a good situation, I don't think he's the type of player that can elevate everybody around him and carry a team there the way Cam Ward did. So I'm cautious on Carson Beck to the Miami Hurricanes that it's just going to put them in the playoff next year.
Danny, what are you hearing about Belichick? What's the deal? I mean, we know guys sometimes don't sign their deals, but this news comes out and we're like, well, that's kind of weird. Yeah. I mean, you did the presser. You're all in. Everybody I'm talking to says he is and wanting to be there. But are you hearing anything?
No. So the only thing I've heard is kind of what you guys, you know, Michael Lombardi, his GM, has been out there making the case saying, hey, no one's leaving. I do think if Bill Belichick would have changed his mind, it would have happened by now. Like, I think he's at Carolina. I think he's in Chapel Hill next year. To give you an example, this is kind of, I don't want to say normal, but it's not that crazy that he hasn't signed his contract. Sherrone Moore, the head coach at Michigan, was in the second game of the season last year before he signed his deal officially on the dotted line. Like, it's not crazy. It seems crazy. I would want to have the money. Like, so I would want a signed contract, lock it up, put it under lock and key before I, you know, wanted, you know, I'd be nervous about just what are the chances? What if they change their mind? But it does kind of take some time to go through the logistics and have, you know, the right attorneys and everybody look at it. So I'm not worried about that. I also feel like Belichick has committed enough time now where I don't think he would do that to Carolina. I could be totally wrong, but I feel like he's made this commitment and now he's sort of all in. And the way his contract was structured, it looked like they were guaranteed to get 1 year. And I do think he gives them that year. You know, the name who I think is very interesting is Deion Sanders, because I do think I put that greater than 50-50 that he does take the Dallas Cowboys job. And I actually think it could work. Because behind the sunglasses, behind the quotes and the brand and everything that Deion is about, he's actually a really good football coach. Like, he cares about the things that matter when it comes time to, like, preparing and getting guys ready to go in competition. And Jerry Jones is crazy enough to take that risk. He's taken a lot of risks in his life. I think it actually could work for Deion. So I give it a greater than 50-50 that Deion Sanders is the next catch of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, man, we got 10 seconds. Who wins on Monday? What's the score?
I got the Buckeyes in a close game. I'm going to take Notre Dame and the points, and I am going to take the under because I think Notre Dame's going to try to drag Ohio State in the mud with them, making an ugly defensive game. And their defense is pretty stout, so I think they'll provide some challenges and not give up the big plays. So I like Notre Dame in the under.
All right.
Interesting. Low scoring, huh? Lower scoring than we expect.
Scoring, yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Danny, great stuff as always, brother, man. We will catch up with you, and go Noles.
Please.
All right. Go on, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, brother. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We'll come back. What is next, Chris? I don't have my sheet in front of me. I got to get my sheet together.
We are going to dive back into the Falcons defensive
coordinator. Darn right. We're going to dive back in that Falcon defensive coordinator situation. What he said. It is Dukes and Bell on a Thursday. Tomorrow, guys, join the party pal. We'll be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Plenty of fun. Again, I do think Raina, our favorite bartender, who's a calendar girl for Twin Peaks, may have contributed to our victory over the Suns the other day by sitting courtside with a plunging neckline.
Whatever it takes. Are you more impressed with what they did against the Suns or last night?
Last night, knowing that, you know, look, the Bulls, man, I don't know what Billy D's doing in Chicago right now. But either way, you didn't get their best punch. Maybe they thought they could take us for granted because we had the whole, you know, Skyhawks team up there. But the guys stepped up. Onyeka-Okongwu was putting together those kind of games, which make you say, and you've been higher on him than I have, but he was great last year. He's been great. Killed it the other night, career numbers, man.
I'm high when he's healthy and he gets the playing time. And when those two things happen, you see, you know, Onyeka play well in these situations.
Right.
But it's still about consistency, Mike. It's like Hunter, right? You can't have one of those games and then all of a sudden disappear and have two boards the next game. Like, there's some consistency in there. So hopefully he's coming into his own. He's feeling good. But I do agree with you about the Capella thing. And I do think we've got to find a way to get something there.
Yeah, because, again, dudes, it's an expiring contract. So you think about Al Horford, different set of skills, and he obviously got a huge contract from Boston at the time. But you've got to get something. I mean, the NBA generally dictates you don't let a guy walk and get nothing in return if he's not going to stay here. So get him off it's an expiring contract, which is generally attractive for another team looking to maybe move some cap stuff. So hopefully they'll get in the mix, and that'll be something we'll be talking about at the trade deadline, which is now less than 3 weeks away. It's moving up.
It is.
So it's a conversation. We will ask Steve Kuenen tomorrow what's happening with our Hawks. Because, you know, he's in the past, he goes, there's plenty of time, Mike. Well, now let's go.
Time. It's time.
The meter's running. It's go time. By the way, real quick before we talk Falcons, where do you think Jimmy Butkus is going to land? That's a really nasty situation in Miami.
It's turned nasty. He comes off a suspension tonight, doesn't he? I believe it's 7 games. He doesn't want to be there. And then the conduct detrimental to the team certainly didn't help. When you say, can you be happy here? And you go, no. You are trying to force your way out. And he is, Mike. But again, if you're Pat Riley, you just don't give Jimmy Butler up for nothing. So, you know, I mean, I'm curious to see. He's given a list of teams. But I will tell you guys this, and you guys know this, especially if you cover or watch the NBA. Stars end up where they want to end up. It's just how this thing works. You know, James Harden, I want out. I want to go to Brooklyn. I want to play my boys. This ain't going well. I want out. I want to go to Clippers. I want to go back home to L.A. Guys end up where they want.
Yeah, and, you know, for years, I always said I really respected Jimmy Butler. I thought, you know, in Minnesota, I've always gone back that year when Thibodeau was the coach, and he came back from an injury. A lot of NBA guys have said, I'm out. Shut it down. Forget it. He played on one knee, made it in the playoffs, and showed some real grit. You know, the famous story of him going into the Sixers locker room going, you guys are a bunch of freaking losers, man, because he brought some attitude. And I thought, you know, it was like the professionalism as far as let's give some effort. And then this, it just turns him into every other sports diva we talk about, every other wide receiver we talk about. Get me out of here. You know, it's like someone like him and Tariq Hill got some coffee down on South Beach. Let's pay up the biggest pains in the butt we can be for our franchise.
Correct. Yeah. And I don't know what happened, how it turned, but do you remember, and I don't know, maybe Jimmy says this when it's all said and done. Do you remember when Pat Riley came out and said he did not want him talking without playing in the playoffs? Right. He was talking
about chirping about other teams.
Correct.
Right.
And he was like, you're not even playing. And I don't know if that relationship went sideways at that point. Either way, Mike, I still think Jimmy can play. And wherever he goes, if he goes to Phoenix, now they got a lot of issues, but I've said this, they're trying to move Bradley Beal. You guys see it. There's a lot of inconsistencies with that team. We'll see where it goes.
So stay tuned on that. But the Hawks do pull out a big win last night. They're now 2 games over .500, dealing with a lot of injuries. Real quick, I asked this of Chris yesterday. I'll ask you. It's not like, you know, the NFL where we, at least not yet, where we've seen an extended specific amount of time that Jalen Johnson is going to be out, but he keeps missing games.
He does.
And you said it. What did you say last year? Get some shoes that fit?
Yes.
What the hell's going on with Jalen Johnson?
I don't know. But there is seemingly something that is bothering him that is keeping him out of these games. He wants to play, guys. He was on a trajectory to be at least one of the guys talked about to be an all-star. I think he's had an all-star caliber kind of first half, but not when you're not playing. Mm. And now you guys see the difference without him on the floor, what the Hawks lack in, Mike. It's really about transition. Like, the dude can grab a rebound, go from one end to the other, block a shot, go from one end to the other. You don't have really anybody else who can do those things at his size.
V. Krejci ain't coming off the bench and doing that when he's banged up. No. That's the reality. So, look, guys keep asking, why do you want to move Capella? I just told you, because you're going to get – he's going to walk. Let's try and improve the team. Not saying to move – look, if you feel Capella is an integral part of this team advancing, because right now, and Steve Kuenen, I'm sure, will remind us tomorrow, we're just a few games from being the 4th seed or the 7th seed. So, yeah, it's a very tightly bunched group in the Eastern Conference. I just love to be able to talk about – but coming up or on the trade deadline day, that you know, our general manager was given the wherewithal to improve this team. Because don't you feel we've turned a corner this season?
I do. And there are various reasons, but you can't be satisfied. And, you know, even though, like, from a divisional standpoint, I think it's Orlando is leading us by a game or so, but we're still the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. Mm. But within two games, Mike, you could be the fifth seed, right? You could be the, so that's how close you are within range of where the Hawks are right now. So, I just don't want to be satisfied. But last night, that was a character win. That was one of those wins. We don't have any of our dudes tonight. Who's stepping up? And Keaton Wallace was like, I got it. Daquan was like, I got it. And they did a great job. He had, by the way, I think what he had, 18 points last night? No, Plowden had 19.
Right.
And then, obviously, Daniel stepped in and had 18 as well. But that was a character win, man.
Bob Rathbut here. Give me the roster. Who are these guys? Yeah, but it was a big one. Hey, we're going to talk Falcons at 5 o'clock. We'll talk about some of the players who might be leaving this. As a matter of fact, we know they're leaving because they're free agents. And some guys, with all due respect, don't let the door hit you in the arse. But talking about the D.C., I guess the selection process is going to play out. I know everybody wants to know right now. I don't think there's a sense of urgency. I don't think there should be. I think you talk to everybody, and maybe you find something you weren't necessarily think you were going to get. Steve Wilks interviews apparently next week. They've talked to Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati, former DC there that was really good, and then the injuries just took his team apart. Some guys are saying it was the free agency which killed. I don't know. Do you still want him? You look at that team and say, that's a guy? Or do you say, I'm sorry, man, you got to make – if you're coming here to Atlanta, you better make lemonade out of lemons because that's what you're going to be dealing with here.
You're talking about Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, and, you know, he had been in Cincinnati, what, 6 years? Or 7 years, I think?
He got his first time as a full-time DC. He'd been a position coach before that.
And was getting praise, right? You go back 4 years ago, and I know everybody's like, that's 4 years ago. Yes, but that's when Cincinnati went to two AFC championship games back-to-back, and he was the DC. They were giving up 18 points a game. They had a great defense, but he also had great players, including a guy named Jesse Bates, who's here now.
Right.
The problem is their front seven has been under attack, Mike. And so you look at the numbers this year in the Bengals, right, in 23, they're 21st in points, 32nd in yards allowed. Those numbers really didn't get any better this year. And the only reason they won games, let's be honest, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, so somebody has to pay the penalty, just like with our guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Lou Anarumo, I can't even speak.
Yeah.
Lou Anarumo is a very good DC, and I think he would be a great candidate here as well. But I just like the attacking style, as we said, of a Wink Martindale or Steve Wilks. Yeah. Somebody that's going to bring pressure and different elements up front.
A guy Smith earlier goes, "What do you like, Wink Martindale?" Because I think it would be. Not like you don't want to bring a guy in to be a challenge. You don't want to look like the dysfunctional Browns. Like remember Hard Knocks, where it looked like Todd Haley was behind the coach. Like he was like, oh, he's just waiting to take over. I'm not saying that, but I do think we need a reality check to sort of be a counter to call it Raheem's toxic positivity, to use a phrase our buddy Albright from Denver talked about Russell Wilson out there with the Broncos. I mean, with Rye, everything's all, you know, wine and roses. It's fine. It's great. I'd love to get a guy to come in, get a real fresh set of eyeballs on our defense, on our depth chart. What are we going to be doing in the draft? And to really, and I, look, Raheem is capable of doing this too, but I just think I'd love to get somebody outside the family. I don't want Jeff Ulbrich. I want to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah. The Ulbrich thing, there is familiarity, and they were on the same staff. I mean, there's no debating that, and obviously, you know, that helps him get an interview like this. But I think you still got to find the right guy. And here's the other part about this, too, where you talk about friction or whatever.
Mm.
If you're Ra, if you're Raheem Morris, you know what you don't want to do next season? You don't want to have to be in defensive meetings adding things to whatever we're trying to do that takes away from you being the head coach and focusing on what needs to happen. That's what happened. I don't need that. I need a guy who can handle that and do that. And that's why you have to trust these coaches, Mike. Mm. And so, you know, game after game, if you guys think Rob was just like, yeah, we're good on defense, everything's fine, he was saying the same stuff we were saying. And then he's like, okay, what are we doing and what do we need to do? Now I'm taking the focus off of what I need to do, which is big picture, which is what he should be focused on. Bring in somebody who can handle that.
Yep. And look, in the end of the day, probably a mistake to have two rookie coach first-time coordinators. Jimmy Lake's got a lifetime of experience in the college and pro, but still, first time as a DC, it kind of came back to bite him if Raheem was involved more. You know, he didn't want to really take ownership on that when we asked him, but hey, there was good and bad with Raheem taking over. The sacks came up, pass rush got after it. Unfortunately, the secondary kind of went to shambles at times.
It did.
You know, including the Minnesota game, which was crucial down the stretch. And that, look, I'll never understand how they – I mean, I do understand. It just looked like we were lost when Bryce Young was carving us. That – you know, I've never been at a Falcon game going into overtime that it was more of a fait accompli, Latin for done deal, that you were going to see Bryce Young just go right down the field on us and stick it in the end zone and we weren't even going to touch the frigging football.
I agree. It just felt like that was done. Big shout out to Lauren Williams. She comes on the show. She says, "Fellas, give Keaton and Daquan their flowers. They played well last night."
Yeah, man.
They won. They did. They won the game for us.
Skyhawks and Chi-Town making it happen.
It's crazy. All right. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right. We lost some legends, a legendary filmmaker and a legendary voice in baseball that I don't know anyone I've ever met or heard had a bad word to say about that man. We'll explain it coming up in Guy Talk next. Dukes and Bell, this hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Way to play is play. If you missed it, T.I. was in the studio. Tip was here. You can rewind on the Odyssey app and check it out. Real quick before I get into some of the stories today, which really, I got to be honest, I woke up, I got on Twitter, and I couldn't sleep. You and I are taking a lot of cold medication and drugs. I mean, prescription. And over the counter, I mean, you know, by a doctor. And I couldn't sleep. I kept waking up last night. I took a melatonin. I woke up, it was like 10 o'clock this morning. I mean.
Yeah, I unfortunately
slept through everything.
I believe it. I'm on some steroids to try to get myself right with the voice, and they keep you up. They keep me up. I don't know what they do about you. So yes, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep in. I didn't sleep. Period. Like I was up last night. I told Conti, I'm like, you ever just laying there looking at the roof?
Yes.
you just laying there. It's like, you know, insomnia. You're like, oh man. Okay, close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Okay, I'm still not sleeping. It's 30 minutes later.
So. Well, I mean, you know, it's the classic argument in my house. I don't know how it is with you guys, but it's the classic thermostat argument with the wife. And, you know, I run hot, so I like things cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I was in the 20s and stuff, but my wife, she likes to set the thermostat at, like, 350 degrees bake, you know. And so I woke up and, like,
sweated. There's nothing worse than sweating.
Yeah, you know, and then so I went and got I talked to my guy from Emory Voice Center because I don't want to keep my voice right. And so he said, go get a vaporizer. So it gets some moisture in the air because the dry heat and the AC and all that. And so I got that. So I got the all these things going on. I don't know, man. I want it to be warm. And by the way, I just saw this from Fox 5. There's a slim chance we may get some snow on Tuesday. You see that?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Come on.
Yeah.
Ready for springtime.
Yeah. If conditions are right. But yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I looked ahead. I'm starting to look ahead.
It's like going to be like in the teens on the overnight. I mean, this is what happens. And by the way, I'm not one of these old guys. Man, how about the weather? I'm just saying. I'm ready for some warmth. Okay. I'm done with this. Yeah. I'm done with the heat meat. Hey, man, we lost some legends. Saw this morning when I finally did wake up after my melatonin-induced stupor. Bob Uecker died. Everybody loves Bob Uecker. Absolute legend. I mean, and the stories are coming out. And I know you got a chance to meet. I only met him once or twice. We interviewed him a few times. But you, when you were covering baseball for ESPN, you had a lot of interaction with Bob Uecker.
Yeah, I just, he was what you see or saw in those movies, all right, for most people. Because you didn't get to the ballpark and get a chance to see like, oh, Uke, what's going on? Right. Come on in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would sit and talk ball, but he'd sit and talk about anything. And just was the most generous dude, man. And like, to your point, Mike, everybody loves him. There's not anybody in baseball. They're lying if they tell you they don't like Bob Uecker. Right. He was so cool. And then he was a cultural icon because he had been in these sports movies.
Right.
So he had a following unlike most.
All eight. Low and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches.
Unlike most of these play-by-play guys where he had done those kinds of things. So, Mike, he had a cult following as well, and that was kind of cool. But guess what? He'd be walking through the ballpark. Kid would be like, Bob, Mr. Uecker. Right. He'd walk right over to him. I loved him as a person, man.
Everything you saw, and again, he was a ball player. As he said, he was a catcher, the tools of ignorance. And he said, you know, how do you catch a knuckleball? You wait till it stops moving, you know, things like that. So you pick it up. Just so many great lines. But did start with the Milwaukee Braves, Cardinals, Phillies. Actually wrapped up his career in Atlanta with a cup of coffee with the Braves and then gets in the broadcast booth. The Miller Lite ads, his unique. I must be in the front row. The lovable everyman. And his Orange got, I mean, Major League where he plays Harry Doyle, the voice of the Indians, although he did the Brewers broadcast, as you know. It was just absolutely perfect, you know. And in the stories, I saw a bunch of stuff today. He had a great – he's a guy's guy. So he used to cuss like a banshee. And so if you're playing golf, great stories. They say he's legendary. We have the cough button or the talk back button here in our business. And they say he was legendary for like, you know, grounded at first. Look at that blonde, man. And then, oh, over to first, two away for the Brewers.
You
the
wouldn't guy, hear it. Yeah.
Absolutely hysterical, just lovable guy. And I put up a picture of Mike Bell, ATL. well outside of the ballpark in Milwaukee. The now it's called American Family Field. There's an unopened can of Miller Lite at the base of the Bob Uecker statue. I must be in the front row. So everyone, as you said, just universally loved.
Yeah, I got a couple of pictures with him somewhere in the house, and they're not up because I got so not to be that guy, but I got so much of that stuff. And today was not the day, but I'm going to try to find that and at the ballpark inside of his booth. And we're just chatting and put it up there. But he was fun, man. And, Mike, I want to say I had just saw something on him where he said, I want to continue to do this. Like, I want to continue to do play-by-play. Because he was like, what am I going to do? And they were like, great. And then, you know, he says, I'm turning 90. And he dies at 90.
But just absolutely. I mean, you've heard it. We've talked about, you know.
And still sharp, by the way.
Yes. I mean, he never really lost his fastball, and that's the thing. Guys, there's the old school guys like Hawk Harrelson and Bob Uecker, but just Bob. You know, Hawk's got an ego. Bob was just the funniest guy, just real legitimate. Hey, another passing today, and that is a guy that was a legendary filmmaker, David Lynch. And if you don't know, you don't know, but The Elephant Man, the movie Eraserhead that critics either really got or just hated, and Roger Ebert got credited with being one of the critics who really got behind David Lynch. Dune, the first Dune, didn't really have the money and the resources to do it the way that Denis Villeneuve has done it, which is just unbelievable, but very quirky, Blue Velvet. I remember seeing that movie when I was a senior in high school. Mm. I remember going back and seeing it twice, like the same night, because it was so trippy. Wild at Heart, the Twin Peaks saga, then the TV stuff. Just some amazing Mulholland Drive, another great trippy movie. So it's a lot of surreal stuff. If you didn't like the Sopranos episodes when they'd be in the dream sequences, you probably wouldn't like David Lynch films. But I love the nonlinear stuff. It always left just kind of scratching your head. You like David Lynch, Oren?
Big fan. I got into Twin Peaks kind of later in life, but once I started watching Twin Peaks, kind of picked up everything else he did.
That's good. So, yeah. Twin Peaks is good. I remember watching The Elephant Man with my sisters and freaking out when they finally show him.
Right.
Right. And you're like, I am a man.
I am a human being.
And you're like, oh, my God. Like, that freaked me out. And from that point on, because I was like, who did this? Who was this? I started learning about his work.
Yeah. Blue Velvet, I just love Dennis Hopper. Blue Velvet, just so trippy. Kyle MacLachlan was in a lot of his movies, one of the guys he worked with, but he passed away at the age of 78, did David Lynch. All right, man, on to some shenanigans. I saw this story and I had to laugh. Busta Rhymes arrested, accused of assaulting an assistant. And the first thing I had to say to myself is, why does Busta Rhymes at this stage of his life have an assistant?
He's still getting gigs.
I guess he's still getting paid.
He's still getting gigs. He's still doing things.
He's been hit with 3 assault charges Tuesday, a dispute with his assistant over being on his phone while working. So, I don't know what Busta was demanding, but apparently his assistant was not paying attention.
Wow.
And he was on his phone. Rhymes is 52. His real name, Trevor Taheem Smith, by the way. He turned himself in January 10th. It happened. And waiting to see where this is. It's a developing story.
Okay.
Like to say.
All right.
I was just blown away that he had an assistant.
Yeah. So he basically smacked the assistant for not paying attention.
Run down to Dunkin' Donuts. Get me a coffee. Meanwhile, more shenanigans in the rap game. A Wu-Tang party don't stop, Carlin. You know that. Apparently, Method Man allegedly smacked a guy around at a gym, a Crunch Fitness in Staten Island.
Really?
There's a backstory on this. Apparently, Method Man, I forget, from the legendary Wu-Tang Clan based out of Staten Island. He's a Crunch Fitness. Law enforcement tell the New York Post that apparently Clifford Smith, his real name, punched a man in the face several times with a closed fist.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, the video, they have closed circuit from the gym 7 times. Pow, 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 pow. Backstory on this. Apparently, the alleged assault, you could argue, the result of a relationship the alleged 28-year-old victim had with the rapper's daughter more than a decade ago. So I'm not trying to, you know, I'm casting any aspersions. You know, we've got Method Man's back, of course, if this guy's a creep. But the idea that maybe, I don't know, did he not step out or he treated his girl wrong? And, I don't know, he ran into him in some payback. Was 10 years in coming.
Yeah, 10 years later.
Yeah, so the man reported pain to his face and feeling dizzy, but refused medical attention at the scene. Complaint was filed with the NYPD. He has not been arrested yet.
Okay.
So, but there's video.
If I know I got somebody mad at me for somebody 20 years ago and they're still holding grudges,
yeah.
I'm not going to be anywhere that they are ever. I'm not going to go to the same gym as you. I'm not going to go to the same grocery store as you. It's going to be different locations for everything.
Yeah, I might want to cross the street or, in this case, leave the gym.
If I do, I'm leaving.
Right.
To your point.
I think the bigger question is, guys, why the heck is tens of million dollar heir Method Man working out at a Crunch Fitness.
Well, gotta get that pump in, man.
$10 a month.
Get that pump in.
Not everybody wants to have a gym. If you get a gym in the house, you don't get to work out, you get at the gym. You got to get into the gym. I've always felt, you know, during COVID, I bought that stupid Chuck Norris, Christie Brinkley thing. Huh? Remember the things we had to do during COVID?
I've told you, Turtle, I can get a workout at home, but it's not the same. You don't get the same interaction that you do when you go to the gym.
No, but there's nothing wrong with Crunch Fitness. I am actually a member of Crunch Fitness myself, but it just suggests that he's working out amongst the people.
The regular
he's
folk?
Method Man is a man of the people.
He is a regular dude.
By the way, have you seen Matthew's last few years?
Yeah, he's in shape.
Like, dude, he's cut. Like, he's cut. Like,
yeah. Well, dude, you talked about Buster.
Right.
I'm not running up on him.
Neither one of them.
That's right. We respect Method Man and hashtag Free Method Man. If he hasn't been arrested yet, it's Staten Island. We were talking to Danny Cannell. A couple of guys hit us up on the text line, 404-726-0929. We don't get to read all of them because there's a lot, but we try to read as many as we can. A bunch of guys had not heard that story earlier. They go, wait, did I hear that right? That Bill Belichick has not signed his contract with the University of North Carolina? That is a big 10-4. Former Patriots coach, is an article from CBS Sports, came out on Tuesday. Belichick signed a team sheet proposal on December 11th, which explains the basic terms, Carl, but it's not a binding agreement. That's what's so a lot of people are saying, could you really see Bill Belichick getting an offer from somebody who can't find the guy they're looking for in this coaching cycle and basically telling UNC thanks, but no thanks?
If he did, it would be the most cruel thing that we've seen.
Right.
Because you have a whole school and its fan base and its football program believing that they've got the greatest coach in football history, or at least, you know, in NFL history, and he's coming to change things for our program. And then you're not even going to coach a game, Mike. You're going to just walk when you get the first opportunity. Yeah, I think it'd be cruel. I really do. Now, it doesn't mean that it won't happen. We've seen craziness before. But is he really that low?
I don't know what to make of it. I still don't understand the fact he's even doing this.
And let me ask you
this. By the way, he's been slow rolling his staff. He just finally signed an offensive line coach.
Okay.
And he's bringing some people in, but he's been kind of not exactly diving into the talent pool.
And for me, here's the other part of this. His whole notion to go to North Carolina was because his dad and the history it'd be a complete lie. If he ended up leaving and going to coach an NFL team.
But it does raise some eyebrows. And, yes, you heard that right. Bill Belichick has still not signed that deal. It's, again, for those who don't know, it's a $10 million buyout. If he terminates his deal before June 1, $1 million after that. So if you get an NFL owner with enough, again, NFL owners, it's a billionaire's boys club. It's chicken feet.
It is.
To get Belichick out of Chapel Hill. The general manager, it's a new world of college football, the UNC GM, Mike Lombardi, he responded to the report on Twitter saying the NFL is not an option for Belichick. So there you go. But it's still, a lot of people go, it's been a month. You signed the contract. What are you doing? If I'm on the recruiting trail, you don't want to go there. Belichick's going to leave. You don't play for that guy. Play for the hoodie. I don't know which coach sounds like that, but if he's somebody with a southern accent, possibly in the ACC.
Yeah, is there a time crunch there? How long before you start to really worry?
I don't know.
Like, if we go another 3 weeks and he hadn't signed it, are you concerned?
If you're a North Carolina alum, wouldn't you be like, what the is going on with that?
Yes.
It's a little strange. Hey, I got time for one more, Oren. Hey, thanks everybody, by the way, who showed up yesterday. Great crowd at Buffalo's Cafe. We had a ball, and hopefully we'll be swinging up to Hiram again. A lot of guys missed you, man. Everybody was asking for you.
Appreciate y'all, man. And again, it sounded like people were kind of getting it in up there.
Bro, it was bananas. Chris will tell
you. Is Hiram like that?
Well, I just...
What's going on up there?
I get the impression they were starved for entertainment in Hiram. And as one of the servers, and this we had to laugh because the young girl, I presume she's just out of high school or college up there, and because we had a packed house. And she comes up to Chris and goes, are y'all like famous or something?
And I'm sure Chris is like, well, of course
yes,
I am.
Yes, I am. I'm the famous turtle.
Yes.
That's right.
Of course I am.
Yes. So, no, it was a great crowd, man. Tomorrow, guys, we'll be at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Come on down. One last story for you. You and I are big fans of always following what's going on in the heavens, whether it's UFOs or worried about meteors and asteroids and everything else that comes close to the Earth. This happened back in the summer, but it's finally now a video has been released, and it's gone viral. A doorbell camera, a Ring doorbell camera in a house on Prince Edward Island in Canada shows where a meteor basically lands. It makes it through the atmosphere at about the size of a golf ball. Pachoom! Lands in this guy's driveway and smacks up against a concrete wall. And they're saying, some scientists are saying, oh, this couldn't have hurt you. How couldn't this have hurt you? At the end, it was going about 120 miles an hour by the time it finally landed.
Yeah, if you were standing there, ironically, you're not standing there anymore.
Right, especially it goes, look, I saw that movie with Sandra Bullock up in space. I know what happens. Stuff goes flying right through you.
That's a good movie, by the way.
I watched that movie just for the opening. I watched that first sequence where everything starts going haywire.
You know who hates that movie?
Who?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I wonder why.
Because there's no reality
in it? There's no reality to it. He went through one day and like broke down why every part of that movie is absolute just bull.
Yeah. Right.
Suspension of disbelief. That's what I have to tell Mike all the time.
No, but again, much like Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's got to have some degree of reality.
Does it? Come on.
Again, how is Luke Skywalker a million miles away?
Jedi.
Yeah, and get out of that whole sequence was nonsense. Stupid.
Princess Leia, Jedi. She can do those things.
I hate those movies. Anyway, that's Guy Talk brought to you by Dukesville. Hey, man, he'll get it where you can, man. We'll come back. We'll talk Falcons. There's a lot of dudes on this roster. Won't be here no more. We'll explain next.